Do, re, Egon.
This week on Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
Ghostbusters 2.
Too many cooks.
Well, then I want 10 million as well.
Take this morning off, mate.
But it's massive.
Bimbo-ish.
How does a train die and become a ghost?
Oh, yeah.
Dribbled out like a wet fart.
I'm pretty much in the same camp as you.
I didn't know it was based on a true story.
Yeah, I know.
And welcome to episode 102 of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
My name is Matt.
And my name is Darren.
And this week we are looking at Ghostbusters 2.
Not that you hear that very much.
No, you don't.
Unfortunately. But yes, we're going back to 1989. Having a look at another sequel in our sequels tour.
It's just a tour de force of sequels.
But before we get there, as usual, good week.
It's been okay, actually. Yeah. Good. Got a couple of books this week. You know, I bought the Christopher Reeve book.
Okay.
So I want to read that.
Nice.
Because, you know, his documentary is coming out later.
Yeah, when's that coming out?
I think September.
Okay, nice.
So
nice.
Super/Man. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Look forward to watching that. So, yeah, but I decided to buy his book.
Ideal.
I've also, Darren, been working on some stuff for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Such as?
Well, just, you know, just we're looking at going more visual soon, aren't we?
Oh, so, aren't we just?
Yeah. So, yeah, we've been looking at some video-y bits. Apart from that, relatively normal week. How about yourself?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, not books or video stuff, but yeah, just a relatively normal week. A few gigs.
Yeah.
Nice gigs. Yeah, nice to be back to work now that we're getting into the summer season. It's starting properly. So, yeah, all good.
You can tell, actually. I'm hot tonight. I'm really hot tonight.
Hot.
I'm hot.
You are hot, baby. Well, there we go then. Shall we just...
Yeah, I think should we just dive straight in. How about we go to the music charts then?
Okay, then. Ghostbusters 2 received its Hollywood premiere on the 15th of June, 1989. And went on general release in the USA, Canada, and Lesotho on the 16th of June, 1989. And so this week, we are looking at the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 11th of June, 1989. At number 10 this week is a drop of one place for Nana Cherry and Manchild. And rising one place to 9, it's Donna Summer and I Don't Want to Get Hurt. Last week's 17 is this week's number 8. It's Cyndi Lauper and I Drove All Night. Down 3 to 7, it's Natalie Cole and Miss You Like Crazy. And up 2 to 6, it's Guns N' Roses and Sweet Child of Mine. Into the top 5, and it's a non-mover at number 5. It's Madonna and Express Yourself. Rising 2 places to 4, it's Sunita and Right Back Where We Started From. And up 9 places from last week's 12 to this week's 3, it's Soul to Soul and Back to Life, However Do You Want Me. And it's a non-mover at number 2 for Cliff Richard and The Best of Me. Which means it's another non-mover at number 1 for Jason Donovan and Sealed with a Kiss. And that was the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 11th of June, 1989. There's some really good songs there.
I think Seal with a Kiss is a guilty pleasure.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You do like a bit of old Donovan.
Oh,
don't
I
you?
Love Jason Donovan, yeah.
And
also, what was it? Natalie Cole?
Oh, I love Natalie Cole. She's
what was the song again?
Miss You Like Crazy.
I Miss You Like Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy!
Yeah. Some absolute classics. Man Child from Nana Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
I Drove All Night, Cyndi Lauper, which was then covered by Roy Orbison. Sweet Child of Mine. I mean, talk about era-defining classics.
Yeah. Is that from Use Your Illusions 1?
No, I think 2? It's from Appetite for Destruction.
Oh, is it?
But I stand corrected. What? Says or no?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I thought you would sort of know being sort of
I think it's Appetite for Destruction.
Okay, great.
I think. And Back to Life. Yeah, Classic. Absolute fucking classic. And then the Sunita. So just outside the top 10, at 11, we've got The Beautiful South and Song for Whoever. You know that one? I love you from the bottom. Great. The man's a poet.
That's Aren't we seeing fucking. Beautiful South this year?
Unfortunately not. No, The South were at Rewind last year.
Okay, so we saw them last year. Right.
Yep. The only one at 15 from Transvision Vamp. God, I had such a crush on her. Wendy James.
I don't know.
Saucy. Oh, we'll have a look later. Oh, saucy right, mix.
Okay. I don't know what people think goes on after the show.
Oh, lots of filth. Anyway, at 17, Pink Sunshine from Fuzzbox, or as they were then known, We've Got a Fuzzbox and We're Going to Use It.
Oh, right. Okay.
Do you remember that song?
No.
Pink Sunshine. Pink. It's a cracker. We'll have a look later.
Okay.
At 19, Tone Loc and Funky Cold Medina.
Oh, easy for you to say.
No, not really. I haven't had too much to drink yet so far. At 20, Bananarama and Cruel Summer, 89.
Excellent tune.
Yeah. At 21, now this is one of my guilty pleasures. I think you probably like it as well. It's the London Boys and Requiem.
Of course I do. Of course
what
I do.
Great, great tune. 22, Donna Allen, Joy and Pain. Recognise it, but I don't recognise it from that, if that makes sense.
Okay.
23, Bobby Brown and Every Little Step.
Wasn't he in
Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah.
He might have made a little appearance.
Yeah, there we are.
25, Edelweiss and Bring Me Edelweiss. Remember that?
No.
They were a one-hit wonder, and it was really bonkers. Lots of cowbells and all that sort of thing. It was
no.
Crazy, crazy.
That does sound... It sounds like a Eurovision song.
It's very much a Europop song.
Right, okay.
Yeah. 29, Tom Petty and I Won't Back Down. And that's a great, great tune. I won't back down. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I know it now.
I mean,
yeah.
You got it from that, surely.
Yes.
32, Roxette and The Look. And at number 40, Gladys Knight and License to Kill.
Oh. Yeah. Can I say, though, I really miss Roxette.
Yeah. I had it in my head at some point that she was going to, or they were going to appear at Rewind or some festival that we went to somewhere.
I mean, they were kind of, they were just our little, I don't know, skateboat into the 90s, weren't they?
Yep.
They were absolutely. Great. Really good.
Yeah. So there we go. That's a little look at the charts. What we're going to do now, it's time for Matt to give us his cinema charts. Are you ready?
I certainly am. All right, so I have gone for the actual 16th when Ghostbusters came out. So in the UK at number 5, we had a film called Woman on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. Yes, Women on the Verge, it's a Spanish black comedy with a young Antonio Banderas and the first time I've ever heard of it. So lo siento. At number 4 was Beaches. Bette Midler and Barbara Hershey star in this film that my exes love, and it carries a warning that it will definitely, definitely make you cry.
Yeah.
Number 3, Warlock, based on a true story about a time-traveling warlock who ends up in our present with a plan to uncreate the world. Number 2, the original and iconic Roadhouse. Yes, it makes you want to work as a bouncer at a bar and sleep with a fit doctor. And at number 1, Hellbound, which is Hellraiser 2, the second installment in what would be, at time of recording, 11 Hellraiser films.
11?
With number 11 being a reboot released in 2022. And across the pond in the US at number 5, we have See No Evil, Hear No Evil. With the tagline, the drop-dead hit of the summer, this film has Richard Pryor as a blind man and Gene Wilder as a deaf guy who witnesses a murder. Number 4, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. In an effort to milk the cash cow that is Star Trek, this adventure pits the Enterprise crew against Spock's long-lost half-brother who wants to search for God at the center of the universe. Number 3, Dead Poets Society, the Robin Williams classic, which definitely did not have me crying when I first watched it. Number 2, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the last film in the Indiana Jones trilogy. And what a film it is. I'm so glad they didn't go back to that well and try and rinse more money out of the unsuspecting public. And at number 1, Ghostbusters 2. Yes, the boys are back in town to play with sticky goo and ride a lady through the streets of New York. And those are the cinema charts for the 16th of June.
Oh, that's a lot dirtier than I was expecting. Riding ladies in sticky goo.
Sticky goo. Nice. Yeah, a lot of sticky goo in the film, isn't there? I mean, there's some films I'd never heard of in there. I mean, I'd never heard of Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish film. Beaches I've never seen.
Have you not?
No, all Warlock.
Oh, I've heard of Warlock. I've never seen it.
No, I mean, I remember the video.
I didn't know it was based on a true story.
Yeah, I know.
You tossle.
But I do remember the video cover at the video shop.
Right.
It was quite an iconic one. I think if you saw it, you'd know it. Mm. But yeah, we had Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, nice. 89. What a time to be alive. I've never seen a Hellraiser film as well.
Have you not?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, they're quite strange.
So out of the top five in the UK and the top five in the States, I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, about five. Yeah, so about 50%.
Call yourself an 80s film fan. Unbelievable. Okay, well, that's the cinema charts from this week in 89.
And now. Episode, Darren has a challenge to link the last episode's film to this episode's film in a certain amount of steps. He starts with five and works his way down to one. Now, he has five steps to get from the last episode's film, which was
Beverly Hills Cop 2,
to this episode's film, which is
Ghostbusters 2.
Well, Darren, can it be done?
Let's find out. Okay, as Matt said, I got five steps to get from Beverly Hills Cop 2, and we start with Ronnie Cox, who plays Bogomil in the Beverly Hills Cop films. So, step one. Ronnie Cox was in Steel Justice with Cella Ward. Step two. Cella Ward was in Hello Again with Shelley Long. Step three. Shelley Long was in Outrageous Fortune with Bette Midler. Step four. Bette Midler was in Down and Out in Beverly Hills with Richard Dreyfuss. And step five, Richard Dreyfuss was in What About Bob with Bill Murray, who plays Venkman in Ghostbusters 2. And that's the five-step challenge.
Wow, okay. Good.
Yeah.
I've seen What About Bob, yeah.
Yeah.
You not seen it?
I don't believe I have, no.
Okay. I also remember Hello Again with Shelley Long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember, I don't know why, it stuck in my head. So the premise is she comes back to life.
Yeah.
So she chokes on a chicken ball.
Didn't realise chicken had big balls on it.
But I remember the line from the trailer. I don't know why this is in my head. It's that chicken ball that ended it all.
Oh, I remember you said about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah. So that's, how was that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Again, the five-step thing, you have to go around the houses sometime. I'm sure I could have got there a lot quicker.
Hey.
In hot pursuit, as it were.
Great.
But yeah. There we go, that's the five-step challenge. Now, at this point in the podcast, we're going to give our initial reactions. And if you listened last week, you'll know that we now had to sum up or give our initial reactions in just five words. Being an even-numbered episode, I get to go first. So, my initial reaction in just five words is fun, family, better, lacking, and frustrating.
Oh, okay.
Yourself?
It sounds like my Tinder profile.
Family?
Weird.
Yeah, weirdo.
All right, so my five words then. Goofy, formulaic, silly, and I've combined the last two, missed potential.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
To be fair, it sounds like we're sort of on the same page already.
I think so. Yeah. But to find out what all of that actually means, you're going to have to join us in part two, aren't you? Because we're going to take a short break now, and we'll be back very soon.
I'm
And we're back.
Part two of Darren and Matt's 80s adventure, where we are looking at Ghostbusters 2.
We certainly are. And at this point in the podcast, Matt has a challenge to give us the synopsis of the film. And he has as many seconds as the film has minutes. So, Matthew, how long is the film?
It is 1 hour and 48 minutes.
Well, I mean, 10 minutes of that is the fucking end credits almost, but...
I mean,
1:48. So you have 1:48 to give us the synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
I am indeed.
Then let's have the jingle. And if you're still ready, go.
5 years after the Ghostbusters went out of business, New York is starting to bubble with supernatural activity again. Dana works restoring art, and there is the painting of Vigo the Carpathian that is brought in. Dana now has a kid, Oscar. And after the pram goes off by itself, she contacts the Ghostbusters, who are all working very different jobs. They dig up the street and find a river of slime. They get arrested, and while they're being sentenced by the judge, the slime manifests two ghosts, which they catch, and, well, they are back in business. Janusz, who is Dana's boss at the museum, gets possessed of sorts by Vigo and becomes his slave? He needs to get a baby for Vigo to possess and therefore bring him back to life. Peter and Dana start to rekindle their romance after she gets attacked by her bathtub. They go on a date while the rest of the guys investigate the slime river that leads directly to the museum. While this is going on, Lewis and Janine babysit Oscar and very nearly have sexy time. The Ghostbusters get arrested again, and Dana goes home to see Oscar being taken by a ghostly apparition of Janusz. Shit goes down in New York, prompting the Ghostbusters to be released from the mental facility that the mayor's aide had them committed to, and they then suit up. After an attempt to get into the slime-covered museum, they use the Statue of Liberty as a beacon of hope to break through the mood slime. The Ghostbusters save the day as New York celebrates New Year.
Okay. Well, there we go. That means that pretty much sums up the movie, doesn't it?
That's right.
So just remind us, how long was the film?
It was 1:48-ish.
So you have 1:48. You did it in, drum roll, 1:23.2.
Oh,
well and truly under. So I shall drink
some water. That's all we're drinking, right?
Obviously, yes. Mm-hmm. Smirnoff water.
Smirnoff water.
Yeah.
Like we can afford Smirnoff. that is kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Right. So. Let's go deeper into this then. The budget of around about 35 million, some say 30, some say 37, some say 40.
Can you remember roughly what the first one was?
No.
I think that might have been in its 20s.
Right.
I just plucked a number out of the air, really.
Yeah, but... okay, fair enough. So budget of around 35 million, and the return was 215 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, a very, very nice day.
Which is actually still better than Frozen Empire right now. Still currently in cinemas right now, as we record. Ghostbusters 2 has made more money than that.
Wow. I mean, it's about 60 million under what Ghostbusters.
Yeah, which won. Is still the highest grossing Ghostbusters film.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's without adjusting for inflation.
Yeah, yeah. They deemed it to be a bit of a failure for some reason. And I guess that's down to the reviews mainly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the return wasn't as big as the original film, but it does...
But on a 30 million budget, nowadays you had a 30 million budget and, you know...
Yeah.
The return was over 200 million, you would definitely get a sequel.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yes, directed by Ivan Reitman and written by, well, it seems to be a bit of a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Aykroyd and...
Harold Ramis?
Yeah, Ramis. Yeah. But they all apparently had creative control as well, didn't they? Which was part of the controversy as well.
I mean, do you think it's a case of, like, too many cooks?
Yes. Original storyline apparently was Dana being kidnapped and taken to Scotland.
Scotland, yes.
But that, obviously that didn't happen.
And I think Murray's gone on record saying, this isn't the film I signed on to do.
I don't know how that works.
Well, I don't know. I can kind of believe that because Murray's one of those that were like, oh, yeah, I'll turn up on set.
Hmm.
You know, if you're him, you've got to take that sort of rough with the smooth because, you know, if he's not going to read stuff before he gets there or, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. By all accounts, Columbia Pictures, after the success of the first movie, David Putnam became the head of Columbia Pictures in June 86. And basically didn't want to do any expensive sequels or big blockbuster movies. Wanted to do things like Hope and Glory, which I think is on our list to do.
Hope and Glory,
it's a British set war film. Very good from what I remember. But yeah, wasn't interested in big budget sequels and spectacular films, and didn't actually last very long because of that. Maybe just over a year at Columbia. Murray as well was on a sabbatical for some reason.
I was going to say, I'm guessing part of the reason it took 5 years was
Murray being fucking awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
I obviously, we have to say, this is all stuff cobbled together from facts in inverted commas.
But yeah, that we find out from the internet and from the local library.
Yeah, well, obviously, yes, and microfiche and all that. But there's lots of evidence, if you like, that would say that he was being quite awkward about signing on and or not signing on or being up for it, then not being up for it.
The thing is, though, after watching, I can kind of get his fears. By any means, I don't think this is a dreadful film, but it feels like he's missed the mark a little bit.
Yeah. And apparently the cast weren't particularly friendly either at that point. There were issues between them, and they all went out for lunch one day, and I'm guessing reading between the lines, had a bit of a piss up and had fun.
Oh, that's good.
And then there were issues about fees. Murray wanted 10 million to do the film. And then the rest of them went, well, then I want 10 million as well.
Yeah, well, that's your budget.
And then, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, no. But they were talked into a smaller fee and around about, well, the rumour is about 10% of box as well.
Each.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so, that's not bad. That's why they didn't want to, why they called it a flop. If 30% of your...
But I mean, that fee has been, that percentage has been disputed. I think Ivan Reitman went on record to say, I'm not going to tell you what the percentage was, but it's massive. So make of that what you will.
Right, okay.
But yeah, so then the film was, the new head of Columbia came in, was instructed by the owners or whatever, the board, get this fucking film made. And almost rushed it through. So I guess that's why you could almost say it's just a rehash of the first film.
I think that's why one of my initial reaction was formulaic, because it does. It literally takes them back to basics. Mm-hmm. So they are no longer Ghostbusters. So they've got to reform the Ghostbusters. And right, hang on. There we go. I've got a note on this. Yes. So they have to reform. They fight some ghosts, right? Okay, like the first film. They get in trouble with the mayor.
Yeah.
They end up incarcerated.
Yep.
And then they're let out to defeat the big bad.
Yep.
So it literally is the first film, except not as well done.
I had the same sort of note as well. So, but obviously in the first film, you've got an asshole, Walter Peck.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, it's Jack. In the first one, they go to jail. And this one, it's on a psychiatric ward. The first one, you got Stay Puffed.
Mm-hmm.
Giant Stay Puffed one down the street. This one, you got Liberty.
Exactly. There's so many parallels.
And to be fair, Janusz in this one, it's almost Lewis from the first film.
Yeah, I suppose he's a little bit, being possessed and taken on. Yeah, I didn't think about it like that. I mean, also, Lewis felt a bit shoehorned in.
Yes. Yeah. It's not really part of the action.
No.
Him and Janine. I mean, as much as I absolutely adore them.
Yes.
And I think what they do is fantastic. I really like it. I really like those two in this one.
I've got a bit of a problem, though.
Okay.
Which is the complete character change of Janine from the first film to this one. And I get why it was done. There was the cartoon was out, and they wanted to make Janine more like she was in the cartoon.
Cartoon was a massive, massive
season.
Seven seasons or something they've
seen. I remember watching it all the time. Yeah. I loved it. But what they did with Janine, who was such a stark contrast from her character in the first one, who was, you know, she was edgy, she was New York, she had a bit of a chip on her shoulder, to this film being kind of, I hate to say it, but like bimbo-ish.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. She became very much this, I mean, forget the sort of style change, it was more her attitude, just completely, it was like you got a completely different receptionist in. And that's...
But also, I guess... what's she been doing for 5 years?
Well, dyeing her hair and making questionable fashion choices.
Obviously, two of them are off doing kids' parties or running a bookshop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
One's on TV and the other's gone back to his job in science.
Yep.
What's she been doing for 5 years?
Yep.
Still just a secretary waiting for a phone call? I say just a second. You know what I mean?
What else is Winston doing as well? I mean, we know he's in parties with Ray.
Again, that's another one of my problems. Winston gets sidelined again.
Literally mirroring the first film. Where
but also
he's...
in the courtroom scene, he's there at the start and then just not there.
Yep.
And I have a real issue with that.
Yes, I do, because, okay, you get it in the first film. He comes in, he's our kind of eye into the Ghostbusters as we go through, but... In this, again, it was like, well...
He's part of the team.
Yeah.
He is part of the fucking team. 25% of the pissing team.
He's
I have a real issue with that.
And also, I mean, I know, you know, you're a big fan of 90 Minutes.
Yeah.
However, this film felt way too fast. You know, it just felt...
I've got a note that basically says, it feels like a film with two halves. I really enjoyed the first hour, I guess. Yeah. Feeling like it's being built up to something, and then it doesn't.
Then it gets let down, doesn't it? Yeah.
God knows how many minutes in, but the courtroom is the first big set piece, and that's at least half an hour, 35 minutes in.
I really like that set piece
as
well. I think that's a really strong bit.
But then I want, you know, an assault on my senses, and it doesn't really come.
That judge, though, I love that.
Oh, he's great. He's very funny.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's absolutely brilliant. And the Scoleri brothers. Wasn't that a thing where the Scoleri brothers were actually real brothers who...
Oh, were they?
Yeah. This is going back to what I was reading earlier, but I think they robbed people in New York, and I think they may have, maybe burgled or robbed Harold Ramis's parents or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they were actual... criminals.
I just could not think of Marley and Marley.
It's got an element of that, isn't it? But they looked great as well. The ghosts looked phenomenal in that.
They really do. I mean, the effects are superb. Oh, I don't know. It's just, it's a real shame because, like I said, I enjoyed the first half and it looks great and they're great. It's nice to have them back.
Yes, it is.
And I found it a lot of fun. And I actually think watching the film, going back to my initial reaction, that the thing about better. I found the first half of this film better than the first half of the first film.
Okay.
I found the first half of the first film, as I said it in the podcast, I found quite a bit of the first film a little bit bitter, a little bit nasty. The whole thing with Venkman doing his experiments to try and get a bird into
get
the
laid,
bed.
Yeah.
It was a bit... Whereas this is much more family-friendly. But then I think it suffers because of that, because not enough happens.
Yeah.
I know that it's not childish. I mean, the heads on the spikes and the
oh, yeah, that's
it's very dark.
Horrible.
Yeah. It's so lacking. It needs more.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Dana and Peter relationship felt very forced.
Didn't it just? Yeah.
I don't know. It's like they didn't know how to pick these characters up after. Not the actors. The story didn't know how to pick these. So she was with him and then he took her for granted. So she went off with something. But then why is she suddenly very much in love with him again by the time they go to dinner?
Exactly. And there's this whole other relationship she's had, which resulted in a child only 8 months before.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I don't know. The thing is, I wrote down that there are some good lines that made me chuckle.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to run some gynecological tests on the mother. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
And what I don't know why this bit still makes me laugh to this day. Do, re, Egon.
Yeah.
That still makes me chuckle.
There's the line as well about don't pull any of those old moves on me.
I've got entirely new moves, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there was a line that I didn't get when I first watched, because I went to the cinema to watch this.
Oh, right, okay.
So I would have been 11.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a kid, you kind of go, oh, yeah, it was great. And something I probably wouldn't have got was right when she says about, I'm going to go put the baby down. She says, well, can I do it? And then he starts insulting the baby. I'm like, I don't think I clocked that as a
Your
kid.
Your belly button sticks out.
Yeah.
And you stink or whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
That's kids for you.
So, but there are some good lines in the film that made me chuckle.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun. It's plenty of cameos as well. We were talking about earlier. Obviously, Jason Reitman and Catherine Reitman make an appearance.
Yes, they do. Cheech Martin as well?
Cheech Marin. Yeah, Cheech from Cheech and Chong. Obviously, Bobby Brown. Brian Doyle Murray's there, who we've had from Christmas Vacation. and I think was in Scrooged as well.
Yes. Well, I mean, so, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, probably got family connections,
brotherly
maybe.
Love and all that, yeah, yeah. But going from the start of the film, when the guys turn up at the party, He-Man in 1989?
No, He-Man was well gone. I mean, He-Man's early 80s, isn't it?
Mm.
So if I'm right, I think the Lundgren film was 87, and that was that was still flogging a dead horse.
Yeah, it wasn't a massive success, was it? There's just some things I just don't understand. The slime at the beginning, how's it come up through the ground?
But because it did.
Okay, well, that's cleared that up. Is the slime there because of Viggo? Or is it unrelated?
I'm assuming so, because of the whole river of slime in the painting.
Right.
And I don't know.
How did it get there?
It did.
Okay. Well, again, that's cleared that up.
Well, I don't know. It was maybe being channeled towards him, I guess, if we're looking, because it was all leading to the museum. I don't know. Maybe it follows him everywhere.
From
there.
Okay.
I can explain this away. That's fine. Okay.
Well, that's good. That's good, because I've got a few questions for you.
Okay, go for it.
Nobody believes in ghosts in New York.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've forgotten. It was years ago.
Did nobody film it?
Well,
it's New York in the 80s.
Yeah, they didn't have mobile phones, Daz.
No TV news crews?
No.
Nope.
And basically, there was only one camcorder in 1985, and Martin McFly had that and took it back to 1955.
Okay.
So,
okay, well, fair enough then. What about 1984?
Oh, yeah, because that's what it
Why did they drill down into the street when a little bit later they just go down into the sewers? Or down into the subway, down into the sewers?
Because they didn't know that there was a way in that way, yeah.
Okay.
And also, they needed to get them arrested.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. How does a train die and become a ghost?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I've got no argument for that one.
Okay. Janusz is told to go and get a child.
Yes, yeah, so
and doesn't.
But also, Janusz then becomes a ghost?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but the first time he's told Viggo needs a child, he tells him to get a child. And doesn't.
Well, he does. He knocks on the door and then walks down the corridor with his bright eyes.
Yeah, bright eyes. How do they save Winston from the slime?
I don't know.
Okay. how can Janusz be a ghost when he's not dead?
Yep.
Yep, okay.
I've got no answer for that, because that's a major problem. I'm like, well, I don't know, maybe Viggo is making his spirit leave his body or something, but
a ghostly Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
Weird.
I know. So here's the thing. So Viggo's there going to Janusz, right? Okay, so you're going to basically become a ghost now. Okay. You're going to need to put this on. What? The apron? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What? And the bonnet as well in the dress?
Yeah.
If you do it without this, it's going to look silly. So what you need to do is...
What if I can't reach?
Well, no, it's all right. Your arm will stretch.
Oh,
but okay. before you leave, here's a ghost pram that you need to put the child in.
Oh, well, how will I get the child out of the apartment?
Oh, that's all right. Open the window, it'll just crawl out by itself.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, oh, great then. Yeah. How am I going to get there?
Fly. Fly, my pretty. Fly.
Okay.
Yeah. So that... I mean, are these probably conversations that were in the Ghostbusters 2 writer room?
Yeah. just a couple more. So they don't believe that Stay Puft Marshmallow Man happened. But the Statue of Liberty just walking down the middle of the street is just accepted and celebrated.
Oh, it's accepted. Yeah, everyone's... Yeah, but it's New Year.
No one's running around going, holy
what?
Fuck.
Yeah, there's a fucking statue walking down the street.
Squashing a police car that might have police in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, she wasn't wearing Nikes, that's why.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, apart from the fact that, you know, the statue would absolutely crumble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it. Is it
spraying their goo around the inside of it.
Sprayed the goo around the inside of her. what's it made out of? Bronze?
Very, very thin skin of bronze. Yeah. About a couple of millimetres thick, and the inside's completely hollow.
Okay. Have you been in it, haven't you?
No, I wasn't allowed to go in it because it was just after 9/11.
Oh, okay.
I went, so it was closed because there's only one way up and down.
Oh, I couldn't walk up Smeaton's Tower on Plymouth Hoe, so I doubt I'd make it up the Statue of Liberty.
And my final one, and for want of a better phrase, Viggo didn't actually enter Oscar. So how does he come out of the painting?
I don't know.
Okay. Actually, the final one. What the fuck is that new painting about?
Yeah, how did the Ghostbusters appear on the painting?
Yeah, that's my...
It's
frustrating.
It is frustrating because, yes, the first film was fantastical and whatever else, but it's based in a certain reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
of course.
It's given itself, it's got rules. And this one seems to just take the rules and go, nah, it's all right.
Exactly.
They painted themselves into a corner, for want of a better phrase, painting. Mm. And just went, yeah, no, it's all right, don't matter. Well, okay. Let's face it. Okay, so we want you to go and, you know, kidnap a kid. So, funny enough, this week I did watch a pitch meeting on YouTube. It was about this.
Oh, really? Not the actual one. Oh, this is like a made-up one or an acted one?
Yeah. So we've watched them before. Yeah, so Pitch Meeting, it's fantastic. Ryan George on YouTube. It is really funny. And they were talking about stuff like this. Like, so hang on. So Viggo wanted to become a baby. So yeah, so what they're going to have to do is raise this god as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sod Oscar, how many babies are in New York that he could
he's told to go and get a baby and ignores his first.
He's like,
doesn't, well.
Yeah, can I have the mother? Well, hang on. Just go get a baby. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Any baby. Yeah. Oh, it has to be New Year's Eve. All right. What about one from an orphanage?
Yeah, that's it. So yeah. Possession, 9/10 of the law.
Nice. See what you did there.
I mean, but the convoluted way they got into the into the museum as well, you know, with the Statue of Liberty, it was just using a Nintendo controller to control the Statue of Liberty.
Maybe they were one of the sponsors.
Maybe.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
They're the Ghostbusters. They've gone and got a Nintendo controller.
But another thing wrong with this film.
How do you link that up, Darren? How do you link up the Nintendo controller to the statue? Where's
the Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Right. Great.
See, I've just explained it.
So, should we look at our highs and lows?
I think we should. Right. Okay. Again, being an even-numbered episode, I get to go first. So, my first highlight, I've referenced it already. I think it's more accessible, this film, for family audiences. I think it's, like I said, not childish, but family friendly. I mean, there's still a few innuendo-y type bits for the parents to go along with, and I do find it a lot of fun. I really like them, and I like their relationships, and I like it when they do go down into the sewers and stuff like that. Another thing is a real plus point for me. It's less of a Murray ego trip, and it sounds like I'm always just having a go at him.
I understand what you're saying. I just think
when he just stops trying to be the center of attention and just lets the film happen. He's fantastic. He's great. I mean, look at Scrooge, apart from the end of Scrooge, or Groundhog Day. It's brilliant. And he is fantastic. I love him. But when he's on his ego trip thing, he's a pain in the ass. And as I said before, I love Lewis and Janine. I think they're great and they're very funny. And yes, they're shoehorned into the action and not really part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But Moranis is fucking gorgeous, isn't he? He's fucking amazing.
I love Rick Moranis.
He's thinking all the time. His comedy chops are just, they're up there with the best.
They really are.
So for me, I liked the fact it was fun and much more accessible. Well, not much more accessible, but more accessible than the first film, which I found a little bit bitter and a bit too adult.
Okay.
So that's my first highlight.
Okay. My first would be, I've got to credit them for how visually the effects look great in this film, you know, from the Scolari brothers to, you know, so, I mean, some don't hold up that well, but bear in mind, we are looking a long time ago now, aren't we? So
what's it,
35 years?
Well, maybe 36 with production and stuff, but yeah.
I think the effects hold up very, very well. I think they've taken what they did in the first film and improved. Yes, I mean, the Statue of Liberty, you can tell it's...
again, somebody, like Stay Puft, there's somebody inside in, but it looks very good.
It does look very good. And I was very impressed with how the, you know, how well after 35 years or 36 years, potentially, how the effects held up today. Yeah. So that is my first highlight.
Okay. My second highlight is the visual effects.
All right. Okay, then.
I think apart from the bath, they're fucking excellent.
Even the bath's kind of got a charm to it though.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks... Why is the side of the bath warping and moving? And then it looks really tiny when the church is walking out of there.
Also, the weird thing as well, so apparently it wasn't in the original script about Dana taking her top off for the bath.
Yeah, but it's Sigourney, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's not in her pants, she's got her top off. Or...
right, okay.
And I don't have an issue with that. Again, the Scolarians and the Statue of Liberty, the ghost train section is awesome.
But how does a ghost... How does a ghost... No, how does a train die?
Well, you tell me.
It goes
it
off.
Just did. Yeah. But apparently that is based on an actual subway crash in 1920, I think it was.
I mean, I suppose we're taking issue with that. True. Yeah, we didn't take issue with the Titanic arriving.
Well, that was my other thing as well. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
But how did they get involved? How did they get drawn in by slime in New York when Titanic sank 300-400 miles away? Something like that. But better late than never, I suppose.
But also, didn't they actually turn up at the pier they were meant to?
Yeah, 34 or something. Yeah, I saw that as well. Yeah. So that's, one of my highlights as well. My second highlight is the visual effects. I think they're very, very good. And they still, like you said, stand up very well.
Yeah, they do. So my second highlight, it does lead me to a low light, but I think you'll know where I'm going.
Okay.
My second highlight is... You know, I know you talked about it earlier about there was, you know, distance and stuff, but I found the chemistry between the three guys brilliant.
Mm.
I mean, I really did. I was looking at them during the courtroom scene and things like that, and they were bouncing off each other. They were riffing, and it was like there had been no time apart. And that was great, really good. So when the three guys were together, but I was like, but it's not three guys.
Four guys.
Yeah, and it did become the three of them. But a highlight for me is... the chemistry between Ray, Egon, and Peter. You know, they were great, but I still don't understand, and I'll get to it with my lowlights, why they didn't use Winston more.
Much, much more. That it?
Yep.
Okay, my first lowlight is a real lack of action. It's like I said, it's about 35, 30, 40 minutes, whatever it is, before the first set piece in the court, and everything's set up nicely, but it just goes on too long.
And we get a montage.
Yeah. It's a retread of the first film, as we've established. There's nowhere near enough ghosts in it. It's for a film called Ghostbusters. I mean, until Titanic turns up, if you like.
But they're not even busting those ghosts.
No, exactly. And, you know, I ain't afraid of no ghost. Winston screams like a girl when the train's coming at him.
Also, weird thing. I've literally just thought of this.
Go on.
The running ghosts, right? Mm-hmm. That they trap.
Yeah.
What? Can you answer me, Darren? Right? Yeah. Why they are dressed? Well, they've got a disguise on, right? So does this with this ghost kind of go? Oh shit! It's a Ghostbuster. Better run the other way. Or why are they disguised when this ghost is running past?
But also, the ghost isn't going to
fucking know.
Is he coming around the same time every day?
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, okay,
but there we go. Why are they in disguise when they're doing it? Like, it's act incognito, so the ghost won't know. No, yeah.
But also, they actually, talking of their garb, they redesigned the original clothes, and it's a bit darky blue, and then all of a sudden they're wearing the grey ones again.
Yeah.
When they come out of
apparently Reitman didn't like the new ones.
Okay.
Apparently they were on set and he was like, rather in the original.
But had already used them in
certain scenes. The montage, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Yeah, so anyway,
they aren't as good though, are they? The original scenes.
Exactly, I agree. So that's my first low light. Just a real lack of action and jeopardy, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. My first low light is, I mean, we've talked about it, so I won't cock on about it, but it's the underused Winston. I think he's a great character, but also Ernie Hudson is a gem of an actor.
Mm.
And he was just sidelined again. And, you know, and just as a, you know, I did touch upon it earlier, but as a low light 1.5, it's... just Janine's character change. It was like they didn't know what to do with these two characters and just kind of went, yeah, Janine, oh, you can be a bit out there this time. And Winston, oh, well, I don't know. Take this morning off, mate. Yeah, we'll get you later on. And it just felt like he was just there. He had no narrative.
Mm-hmm.
There was no jeopardy for him being in trouble. And I get that in the first one, he was like, I'm here for a paycheck. But this one, he is a Ghostbuster. He saved New York. I love this town, all that sort of stuff. And this, it's just like, I felt like Winston was completely underused. So that really was a low light for me.
Okay, my second low light is the finale, what there is of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't understand how. I don't understand what it was all about. Yes, Viggo comes out of the painting. Don't really know how because he doesn't go into the child. But then he just
can't say that.
Behave yourself. But then he just stands there.
Yeah.
And occasionally throws his arms around and they fall over.
Oh, he looks menacing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like he should be in a Die Hard film.
Yeah. Yeah, but he does actually, even though his voice wasn't the actor's voice. Yeah. Max von Sydow doing the voice. But it's dull. It's really dull. It's static. It's really talky. Mm-hmm. It's underwhelming.
Daz, I'm going to jump in on this one with you because that is my second low light.
Yeah. Right.
It was just an anticlimax, wasn't it?
It builds up to, I mean, the painting, you know, when his face is coming out of the painting or when he's mm-hmm. winking at Dane or smiling or whatever and things are happening and almost taking over Dan Aykroyd's character. Oh God, he's a big bad.
Yeah,
and then he's just a wet fart.
They could have explored that more. Maybe having some of the Ghostbusters possess against some of the Ghostbusters that aren't, you know, firing at them with proton packs, which are going to explode a human being. Yeah. Have a bit more jeopardy. Yeah, because I wrote the Statue of Liberty bit. I think that was just silly.
But okay, you know, there's no more silly than the Stay Puft thing. So long as there's a big battle afterwards.
But there was. There was no need, though. Stay Puft was a. There was a reason they were there. There was no need to kind of get the Statue of Liberty moving through New York.
It's a beacon, man.
It's a beacon of hope.
Yeah, dude.
Let's all look at our license plate.
Yeah, man. Let's all sing.
And the defeat of Viggo was just underwhelming. Like, completely underwhelming.
There was no battle. There was no big.
And at least with the first one, you kind of went, oh, crossing streams. It has potential to destroy the universe. This is like, oh, it's covered in slime and just. You know. Yeah.
We'll break the glass ceiling, we'll drop in, talk for a bit, and then he's gone.
Yep. So, I'm with you. So, literally, I jumped in on that because that is my second low.
It just sort of dribbled out like a wet fart.
Right.
And we know all about them on a Monday morning. Eh? Well, anyway, so that's our deeper look at the film. Let us know what you think. Do you agree with our highs and lows and our analysis and stuff? But before we go to our next break,
oh, yes. The crazy review of the week.
Crazy review of the week.
And I'm going to preface this, Darren. So, so you did last week's. I've done this week's. I think this person sounds very angry.
Oh, okay.
They sound really angry. So I thought, this is the one.
Okay.
Okay. So the title is So Stupid.
Right.
Just as dumb as the first one, which is pretty bad. In fact, you can't get any dumber than the first one, so there's that. The dialogue is absolutely atrocious and cringeworthy. Forget what you might have heard about this POC, piece of crap, and watch it alone and see how many times you will laugh. It will be zero. You will laugh zero times, which is pretty bad for a comedy. One star.
He liked it then, or she.
Yeah, well, so there we go. But did you get the anger in that as well?
Okay, that's good.
So
also,
for my logic is just as dumb as the first one. So hang on, you didn't like the first one, so you've decided to watch.
You hate the first film, but you went back for the
sequel. I'm going to watch the second one and... Oh,
I'm going to hate it even more.
It is just as dumb as the first one.
Oh my God.
And it's pretty bad. In fact, you can't get any dumber than the first one. So there's that. So they clearly hated the first Ghostbusters. Then went to watch Ghostbusters 2. Then felt the need to leave a review 2 years ago.
Oh.
This review is from 2 years ago.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So that was the review that I found rather amusing this week.
Nice. Well, that's the crazy review of the week. That might be my favourite bit of the podcast.
I quite enjoy this as well. It's great. Look, because to be fair, whoever wrote this review, they're entitled to their opinion.
Of course
they are. But it's just the fact I can't get the logic of... Oh, I hated the first one, so I'm going to watch the second one and trash on that as well.
Well, there we go. That's the second part over and done with. We're going to take a piddle break, and top up our glasses, and we shall be back very, very shortly.
Ghostbusters 2 has arrived, and Wimpy are really making a meal of it. The Ghostbusters 2 meal box with hamburger, chips, and a slime milkshake, all for $1.99. It's enough for any appetite, and you get a ghost in a can. No, don't open it! The Ghostbusters 2 meal box and ghost in a can, a reality at your local Wimpy now.
But what a ride.
And we're back. Part three of Darren and Matt's 80s adventure, Ghostbusters 2.
That's normal. Part three, we're going to have a wee quiz. So it's time for the quiz.
Eyes down for a full house.
And now in this new format, we ask three questions. First question worth 1 point, second question worth 2 points, and third question worth 3 points.
And if it's been discussed throughout the podcast,
tough titties. Yeah, and we got three tie breaks, and that's it. So, being an even-numbered episode, I get to ask the first question. So, Monsieur Mathieu.
Uh-huh.
Question one for you, worth 1 point.
Yes.
Easy question. What is Dr. Janusz's surname?
Oh. I don't think I know this, actually.
Oh. Okay.
I don't think I know this. Whenever I hear Janusz, I want to go call Jack. Yeah. Janusz... I couldn't tell you.
Janusz Poha.
Poha?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get that.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No. Okay, first question for you worth 1 point, which is the easy question. Can you tell me, when being interviewed, Elaine says the alien had a room. The alien had a room in which hotel chain?
I can't remember, so I'm going to say, I know it's not, but Ramada Inn. I can't remember.
Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn. God damn it. Okay, so after one question each, it's 0 points so far. Question two for you, slightly harder, but worth 2 points. Before the judge dismisses their case, he sentences them to 18 months detention. Where?
Rikers Island?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Correct. That's a 2 points for you.
Wow.
Nice. That's,
I think X-Men came in handy there. Okay. Your medium question.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a name then. Okay.
Oh, God.
Where does Egon work?
The Institute for Scientific Studies. No idea.
You've got the Institute, right?
Yeah.
The Institute for Advanced Theoretical Research.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. There's still 0 fucking points for me.
Third for me.
Yeah. Third question for you worth 3 points.
Okay.
At the museum, Edward Degas is having an exhibition. What are the dates of the exhibition?
Do you know what? You could have said, who's having an exhibition? I wouldn't have got it.
Oh,
no,
right, okay.
No idea.
The 14th of November to the 3rd of March.
Okay. So... with the hard question for you and 3 points, which could overtake me and win it.
Uh-huh.
Who is convinced that the world is going to end on New Year's Eve?
Oh, I know this. What's his name? What the frig is his name? Milton Englund.
Correct.
Ah! Yes, you took it with 3 points. Well
done,
man.
Oh, my God. See, the thing is, if we did do that accumulative, so if we got each other's points for getting it wrong, you would have walked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I quite like that, though. That's kind of cool that you swept in at the last minute and got it.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, well done.
Right. Thank you. I pulled that out of the bag somewhere.
Yeah.
Christ. Should we do our tiebreakers?
Yeah, let's do our tiebreakers.
Okay. What's Dana's apartment number?
I have no idea.
48. Lewis's two law specialities in inverted commas.
Tax.
Yeah.
And property.
Probate. So it's essentially property. And what book does Venkman order from Ray's occult?
Something about like controlling people in power or something, isn't it? But I couldn't tell you this.
Magical paths to fortune and power.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
My three tie breaks were, at what temperature did Egon have the room at with the couple that were there for marriage counselling?
Oh, I know he turned it up. It's 90 Fahrenheit?
95. What was the closing times of Ray's occult?
Oh, I don't know. 5:30.
Well, no, he takes the call. 7 p.m. on weekdays, midnight on Saturdays.
Oh, okay.
And finally, how long do the power cells of the proton packs last?
Oh.
There's two answers you can give. Well,
a half-life of 5,000 years
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
You got that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, there we go.
Oh, you swept in with the three-pointer, though. I like this new format. That's really good because you just literally came in, you hit a home run.
Wowzers.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So what do you think? Would you have got those questions right?
Yeah.
Do you like the new quiz format, the accumulative? I personally love it. I think it's great.
Yeah. Don't forget, you can still set the questions for us.
Yes.
If you want to.
It's going to be easy, medium, and hard. Yeah. I think we've got the balance right, though, on the easy, medium, and hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that we got the easy ones right. Not this week, anyway. But, okay. Well, there we go. That's the quiz. I guess then. It's last orders at the bar.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
Right then, I suppose, last orders at the bar means that we now have to give our thoughts on it. Now, being an even number week, Darren, you go first. What do you think, bud?
Well, it's...
Oh, yeah.
that pretty much sums up the film for me. I don't know if you'd asked me to sum up and give a score to the first half of the film, I probably would have given it a 5 or a 6 or maybe even a 7 because I enjoyed it that much. But as a whole, the film is so lacking in everything that it needs. Things that are set up either go nowhere or they're unexplained. They don't pay off.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay off full stop. The finale of the film is such a washout, such a disappointment. I mean, and the other thing I forgot to mention as well, it's implied that they're having sex with the slime.
Oh, yes, it is, yeah.
We'll just leave that there. But I don't know. It's great to see them all back together, and it looks great. And it is a good fun ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it does not deliver what it needs to deliver. And I know it's always difficult, the second album thing, but it's just...
Yeah.
I was disappointed.
I'm going to disagree with you there a little bit because they had enough time to get this shit together.
Yeah, they're 5 bloody years.
Yeah, and it kind of sounds like they were chucking stuff at the wall and see what stuck. And I don't think a lot of it did stick. So, yeah, I know you're trying to be nice by going, yeah, it's difficult to do the second one. But I think, if they'd have trusted their guts and gone with their original people and kind of gone, right, okay, let's do this, then I think it could have been better. So I think you're being too nice on them.
Okay.
Well, whatever. Only because... Like,
are you reviewing my review?
Yeah, sorry.
But I did enjoy it, and it's great to have them all back together.
Mm-hmm.
And the effects are fantastic on the whole. And as I said, it is a good fun ride, but it's just, it leaves you with a... God, I needed a lot more than that taste in my mouth. And so to give it a score, I mean, there are things that do take it up. The effects are fantastic. But then there are things that take it right down because of the finale. So I'm going to give it... Oh, I'm really torn, but I'm going to go... I'm going to go four. I'm going to give it a four.
Okay.
Yourself? I was very torn. I was almost giving it a five because of the effects and them. But yeah, it's going to be... Sorry, go on.
No, honestly, I'm pretty much in the same camp as you. And I think there are a lot of things wrong with it. And you talk about the joke about having sex with slime. There's also when Venkman's got his two-minute TV show, because that's essentially how long the TV show was.
Yeah.
He's got that guest on, which essentially, I mean, there's some dark overtones when she talks about, oh, yeah, he maybe used a ray gun and got me to his room. I was like, that's really dark overtones, isn't it? I mean, they're almost making light of that. And I was like, oh, no. I'm the same. I like having the guys back together. I'm still pissed off about the Winston situation, though, because he should have had a much more... Now they're starting to use him, aren't they, a little bit in the new ones.
Yes. Like,
he now has become a millionaire or whatever else. But it feels like a little bit too little too late.
Mm-hmm.
They should have used him more in this. They should have... Well, they could have done better. So I'm going to go middle of the road. I'm gonna go for five because... I think we were left for such a long time without mm-hmm. Ghostbusters as well. So we had 1989, then the next kind of direct sequel to that film was 2021. It was meant to be 2020, I think, yes. Calculated 21. Yeah. So,
which is a great film, though.
I did enjoy it.
Fantastic film. Full disclosure,
not seen Frozen Empire yet, but...
Nope,
you know. Yeah, so I'm going to go five. I'm going to go middle of the road. So it's really sad to say that Ghostbusters 2 is a 9 out of 20 for us.
It would have been interesting, though, to see... how Ghostbusters 3 would have panned out.
Yeah, there was talk about them having to delve into to hell.
Mm.
And in fact, the Ghostbusters game is meant to
be 2009, mm-hmm. something like that. There's a lot of love for that.
There's a lot. I've played it. I've got most of the way through, and that is meant to be almost like, cause actually all the cast came back.
Mm.
Ramis, Aykroyd, Murray. Ernie Hudson, I don't think Rick Moranis was there, but there's a lot of, and it was almost like Ghostbusters 3.
Hmm. Maybe they would have learnt lessons.
Yes, I think so. 2.
But again, pretty much down to Murray, by all accounts. Again,
things that you can understand is trepidation after being burnt by Ghostbusters 2.
But then read the script first before you know.
Or just kind of get involved in the process.
Exactly, yeah. But anyway, so that's how I look at Ghostbusters 2.
What do you think?
Yeah. Do you like it? Do you love it? I think there's a bit more love now than there was at the time.
Again, I think that's because we were starved.
Yes.
We were starved at Ghostbusters for, 20 odd years.
Yeah. A lot of people now seem to think there's a bit of love for it.
Yeah. And do you know what? I the first time I watched it before we recorded, I was like, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I sat down, had a beer. I was like, yeah, it's fine.
It's when you analyze it a bit more.
Yeah, it's
just a rehash.
When you're sort of going to review it, you kind of go, well, let's see. Does this make sense? And yeah, you're right. It is a complete rehash. It's kind of, it's a copy and paste job, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. But anyway, there we go. That's our look. Let us know what you think. Always nice to hear from you. And don't forget, please leave us some reviews. Always nice to get some feedback.
Yes. Yeah, we had a nice five-star Apple review recently, but also... It's always nice. We haven't finished yet, by the way, so don't go switching off.
Yeah, for God's sake,
we're going to talk about next week.
Fuck's sake. Fucking get your finger off the button, bitches.
But we do want to say, we do appreciate the support. So actually, you can support us in a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. You can head to our website, which will link us across to Patreon, and you can become a patron. Basically, just kind of say, look, here's a couple of quid. Just help keep the lights on. But also, you can buy us a one-off Ko-fi as well.
Ko-fi, goodbye. Go fuck yourself. What? I haven't sworn very much in this episode.
Good.
And I definitely haven't said cunt.
Because my ears aren't dustbins. Then I suppose we need to look at next time.
Next time, gadget.
All right, so we have changed this as well, haven't we? So we used to, I used to give a tagline. Darren used to pretend to not know what it was.
Didn't pretend. Cool. Jeez.
But now we act out a scene.
The actors that we are.
We act out a scene for you.
So, yes, this is a scene from next week's film. Can you figure out what it is? Get in touch on Facebook and let us know if you've guessed. Look, Hurst, what did you expect? You cut my budget, you cut my stuff. I got nothing to work with. Look around. These guys are old, they're tired. They just can't cut it anymore.
Well, maybe they need a new captain, Lasard. The mayor wants results. You remember the mayor? She wants something done about this. Now, what do you propose?
I propose you take your nose out of my business, go back to the mayor's office, and put it where it usually is.
Well, that was touching, man. We haven't done a show together in years, you know?
I'm all moist over here.
And the Olivier goes too.
One day. Anyway, yes, so that's our little teaser for the next episode. Like I said, you know, we're on Facebook. Log on to the page and let us know what you think next week's film is. Mm-hmm. Just let us know what you think anyway. We're only interested in 5-star reviews. Don't forget, pinch somebody else's phone and subscribe to the podcast. Take a picture of yourself doing it and you'll be on Facebook too.
Mm-hmm. And very, very soon you will get the opportunity to do that on the YouTube as well.
YouTube of you.
Yes, all one of you that have asked to see our faces, then yep. You will be seeing that very, 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 very soon.
Oh, nice. Lovely old job.
Right then, I suppose that is it. So, as Darren has said, please get in touch. But apart from that, I suppose all that is left to say is anything else, Daz?
Suck up your gut, mate, with Darren and Matt.
Nice.
Thank you.
Until next time, then. I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy!